and he had enough water to lather and rinse twice. When he was done, he felt a lot better. It was a long hop from Gaul, and he was looking forward to stretching out and sleeping in a bed for a change. But maybe he would just finish the facets on the lightsaber jewel first. He had a lot to think about, and he didn't think he would be able to take a nap just yet. Too many things buzzing around in his head. Might as well do something useful. He put on a robe and moved to the work table.
Rhodia?
Leia asked. Rhodia, Lando said. They were in the Falcon, moving through hyperspace. Chewie was asleep in the bunk behind the lounge, the only one long enough to hold him stretched out. And 3PO had powered down. So it was just the two of them in the cockpit.
Why Rhodia? That's a long way from here, halfway to Coruscant.
I know, but that's where my contact is. Name is Avaro. He owns a small casino in the gambling complex in Equator City. The complex is run by Black Sun. Avaro will know who to contact.
Okay.
Might be a little tricky, though.
Why is that?
Lando shook his head. Well, before Vader showed up on Cloud City and gave him to Boba Fett, there were other bounty hunters looking for Han. I found out when we were poking around in Mos Eisley that a Rhodian thug named Greedo caught up with Han in one of the cantinas there. Greedo was going to blast him for the reward. There was a shootout. Han walked away. Greedo didn't.
So?
Greedo was Avaro's nephew.
You think he'll hold that against us?
Leia asked. Maybe. Maybe not. All I know about Rhodian customs is that they are big on hunting. If somebody had shot my nephew, I might be unhappy with them.
We didn't shoot him. Han did.
Lando grinned. Well, yes, that's true, but we are his friends. Leia leaned back in her seat. Always more obstacles. Then again, maybe this wasn't really a problem. No way to tell until they got there. Around them, hyperspace flowed as the Falcon carried them to whatever awaited. Vader knelt on one knee as the Emperor stared through his viewer plate at the spires of the city. Abruptly, he turned.
Do get up, Lord Vader.
Vader obeyed.
So our agents have verified this report?
They have, my master.
100 rebel ships? Plus, no doubt, their pilots and officers.
Likely, yes.
That's Grand Moff Kintaro's sector, is it not? He has been lax in allowing such a base to become established. We will speak to him.
Vader said nothing. Grand Moff Kintaro would likely be out of a job soon, and also likely out of breath, permanently.
Well, you must take part of the fleet and go there immediately. Destroy the base. The loss of ships and troops will be most damaging to the rebels.
I thought perhaps Admiral Okins might command the expedition.
The Emperor smiled.
Did you?
Vader felt his hope evaporate.
But if it is your wish, I shall lead the attack.
It is my wish. You may take Okins if you like, but you are to personally ensure the assault.
Vader bowed.
Yes, my master.
As he left the Emperor's most private chamber, Vader fumed. The base was there, just as Zizor had said. It would be a powerful victory for the Empire, and relatively easy. Ships under repair would not be able to lift to defend themselves, and it would be like shooting game birds at roost. But he did not trust the Dark Prince, and he knew the man did nothing for free.
What was in this for Zizor? What did he hope to gain?
Vader brooded as he walked. At least he had not conveyed to the Emperor, who had given the rebel base's location. He'd had the recordings from the Skyhook's holocams erased and his own recordings locked away. A small victory, but any such triumph over Zizor was better than none. Vader was met at the exit of the Imperial Palace by Admiral Okins.
Prepare your ships, Admiral. I shall be carrying the flag on my destroyer.
Okins bowed.
At once, Lord Vader.
Vader looked up into the night skies over Imperial Center. The darkness was held at bay by the millions of lights on the surface,
and up where the glow dimmed, the tiny dots of spacecraft arriving and leaving looked like a swarm of Belvarian fire gnats, reds and greens and blinking white ventral landing beacons. He would take his ships and crush the rebel shipyard, smash it flat, and then he would hurry back here. Zizor was up to something, and it would be best if he found out what quickly. 12. Luke took a deep breath. He stood outside Ben's house, the first stars of evening a glimmer, the moon still on the rise. The air was warm, but not as scorchingly hot as it had been. He held the completed lightsaber in his right hand. He had assembled it according to the old book's directions. Everything should work. Should work. But he'd come outside to test it. That way, if it blew up, at least it wouldn't take Ben's house with it. R2 stood nearby, watching. Luke could have had the droid try it without any risk to himself, but what kind of Jedi would do that? Go back inside, he told R2. R2 was not happy with that and said so, ending in an air-forced through rubbery lips noise. Go on. If something happens, I need you to tell Leia. Yeah, tell her, Luke. The galaxy's biggest idiot Flash flamed himself into a black crisp because he couldn't follow an elementary circuit diagram. R2 left, whistling his protest as he went. Luke let his breath out. He waited until R2 was out of sight, then took another deep breath, held it, and pushed the control button. The lightsaber glowed. The blade extruded to full length, just under a meter, and began to hum with power. It gave off a green gleam that was quite bright in the early night. Luke grinned and let his indrawn breath escape. Phew! Well, it wasn't like he really thought it was going to explode. He waved the lightsaber experimentally. It had a good balance, maybe even better than his first one. He drew himself up into a ready stance, slid forward, and swung through a series of downward cuts, alternating from left to right and back. Yes. There was a thin spire of rock jutting up from the dry ground a few meters away. He moved to it, cocked the lightsaber, and whipped it down at a 45-degree angle. The humming blade crackled, sheared through a wrist-thick chunk of rock, left a smooth cut. He nodded and relaxed his fighting stance. He held his left hand near the blade. No sensation of heat. That was good. It meant the superconductors were working. Behind him, R2 chirped and rolled to a stop. Luke shut the lightsaber's power off, saw the droid and shook his head. He had a mind of his own, R2 did. Hey, it works great, Luke said. I knew it would, you know. Did R2's whistled agreement have a sarcastic tone? Luke chuckled. Well, no matter. He had built the elegant weapon, and it worked. That was something. Maybe he would learn how to be a Jedi Master after all. He looked up at the stars. He hoped Leia and the others were doing okay. Leia, Chewie, and Lando sat in Avaro's private office, facing him across a large desk made of some kind of carved yellowish bone. Avaro's skin had faded to a dull green. He was much fatter than most of the Rodians Leia had seen, and he spoke basic with a lispy accent. I see no problem, he said. Guido shouldn't have tried to take Solo alone. He was not very bright, my nephew. Solo is frozen. Kenobi is dead. Yawamani is as good as anybody. Well, so much for family ties. Made things easier, though she wished Avaro would speak some language in which he was more proficient. She didn't know what, given that her Rodian was elementary. Oh, well, she could understand him with a little work, and that was all that was necessary. So, you will put us in touch with the proper people? Avaro nodded. Yes, it will take a few days. Local contacts won't do you any good. You need an off-planet representative. Fine. Meanwhile, feel free to enjoy our casino. Rooms will be made available for you. Leia nodded. Thanks. If Mos Eisley was bad, this place was worse, Leia thought, as they left Avaro's office and moved toward the hotel section. There were electronic gambling devices, card games, wheels of fortune, and the like, with players and dealers and operators busy at them, but the floor was worn and dirty, the air filled with smoke and an odor of spice that indicated some of the patrons might be chemically enhanced or chemically debilitated, depending on how you viewed such things. Large armed guards stood at regular intervals, looking, she thought, for somebody to shoot. It all looked seedy and unkempt. Lando glanced around with a critical eye. "See anything you like?" Leia said.
"Couple of the card games look as if they might be honest. Place like this in a complex with so many other casinos pretty much has to be on the up and up. House percentage ensures a good profit, and if there aren't a few big winners now and then, the customers go elsewhere. Better stay away from the credit disc machines and the wheels, though. Those will be rigged."
"Don't worry, I don't gamble." Lando grinned. "Something funny?
Princess, you're the biggest gambler I've ever met. But you don't risk money. You risk your neck."
Leia also had to grin a little at that. He had a point. 3PO waited at the entrance, and he did not seem happy to be there. He did seem relieved to see them return.
"I hope your meeting went well," he said.
"Yeah, it did," Lando answered. "So I think we might take you to translate for us next time. Avaro has a slight problem with basic."
"Happy to be of service," 3PO said. "I'd much rather stay with you than out here alone. Some of the patrons seem quite unsavory."
Leia smiled again. There was an understatement.
"We better get checked in," Lando said. "Then we can come down and see just how honest this operation is."
It was nearly a standard week after his meeting with the Emperor, and Darth Vader now stood on the bridge of his super-class Star Destroyer about to leave hyperspace. They had entered the Bajie sector and would soon be in the Lebaya system. In formation with him were two Victory-class and one Imperial-class Star Destroyers, more than sufficient firepower to destroy a single shipyard. Better too much than too little, the Emperor had said. Vader took no particular joy in this kind of mission. It was so impersonal. But it was a necessary part of the war. The enemy could not fight without equipment, and depriving him of it was much better in the long run than waiting to meet in battle, no matter what Vader's personal preferences might be.
"We are dropping to sublight, Lord Vader."
He turned and saw a junior officer standing there. He had heard that the officers drew lots when it came time to deliver messages to him, and the loser had to go. It was good that they feared him. Fear was a better weapon than a blaster or a lightsaber. Vader was silent, allowing the man to worry for a moment.
"Very well," he finally said. "Set a course for the Vergesso asteroids, using the coordinates for the shipyard. I will be in my chambers. Call me when we get there."
"Yes, Lord Vader." After the frightened officer hurried away, Vader stood there staring after the man. He would much rather be hunting Luke Skywalker than playing figurehead on a mission any line officer with half a working brain could manage. True, he had his agents in the field, some volunteers, some conscripted, many of whom were quite adept, but it was not the same as doing it himself. He blew out a particularly labored breath. Unfortunately, he had not been given a choice. The Emperor did not ask for opinions when he issued a command. The best Vader could do was to hurry and finish as quickly as possible. He headed toward his chambers. Lando sat at a table with five other card players, engaged in a game Leia didn't recognize. Each player was given seven thin electronic rectangles by the dealer droid, allowed to discard up to four of them, then to draw replacements. The game seemed to involve sorting these card plates into colors and numbers, then betting that the resulting combinations would either total more points than the other players or come closer to some ideal. Leia wasn't quite sure about that part yet. Apparently, each player was given the same number of points on a counter to begin with, and the winner was the one with the highest total when the session ended. Lando seemed to be doing well at the game. The electronic counter in front of him showed a positive balance higher than all but one of the others. "The bet is 15, the droid said. "The sum is minimum, and the color is open."
"Match," the bald man next to the dealer said, "in green."
"Match in blue," a young Rodian female next to him said.
"Double," Lando said, "in red."
The other players groaned. Lando smiled. 3PO stood nearby, watching, as did Chewie. 3PO kept his voice quiet and said,
"I don't understand how he keeps winning. He isn't playing correctly. The odds on the match he just offered are 806-1. It would be very difficult to achieve that combination.
He's bluffing,
Leia whispered. Threepio turned to look at her.
That doesn't seem very wise.
Three of the players tossed their cards into the retrieval tray.
Sure it is, Leia said. He's winning and they are intimidated. Rather than risk losing more, they prefer to drop out.
But what if one of the other players has a superior hand and doesn't drop out?
Watch, she whispered.
Now just Lando, the bald man, and the Rodian female were left in the round.
Match,
the bald man said.
Plus a tenth,
the Rodian said. Redouble, Lando said, in red, maximum count.
He can't possibly achieve that,
Threepio whispered. Chewie growled at him.
How rude, I was merely stating the truth.
Be quiet, Leia said.
She was interested in seeing how the others reacted to Lando's gambit. The bald man shook his head and tendered his cards.
Too steep for me.
The Rodian looked at her cards, held in such a way that Leia could not see them, then glanced at Lando. Lando smiled at her. The expression was at once warm and mocking. He looked self-satisfied, confident, even smug.
Oh, he was good.
The Rodian muttered something Leia didn't catch, though she guessed it was probably a curse of some kind. She shoved her cards into the collector.
Round to player number three, the droid said.
Lando tossed his cards into the collector and turned to grin at Leia.
Threepio said, I can't believe it.
Leia said, sometimes the appearance of strength can be as effective as strength itself.
Think about the Balano serpent, which has no teeth or claws or poison, but which can blow itself up to 5 times its normal size, making itself look fiercer and more dangerous. It might not really matter whether you can beat an opponent if he believes you can.
I suppose you have a point, Threepio said, but he did not sound convinced.